Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, happy Wednesday. Julia, I haven't seen you in a month.
I'm so happy.
Not as happy as I am.
No, this is so good.
This is so good. And I'm really excited because I love this time of week. Every Wednesday, our good friend Tori Lowe from 101.7 The Truth joins us in the studio. Tori, how are you?
Hey, it's good to see both of you guys back in the chairs.
It's good. It's so good to be here. All right, this is an important story. First Step Community Recovery Center is apparently having a serious financial issue. Tell us about the center.
Well, this center is used to help detox, help families that have loved ones that need to be serviced in this kind of way. And we kind of forget these, that there's an opioid crisis. There's things going on, and you need people that specialize in this area to try to help people move forward. And they're saying that there's no money in the budget. $2.9 million will be taken away from this detox center. And they're panicking. People are out protesting, trying to figure out what other resources will it be once they take this away or they lose this two budget cuts.
They have a $46 million budget deficit.
In the county.
That's not even going to put a ding in that if they take away that. And also, it might cost us even more money with police responses to overdose. What? This is a money saver, this detox.
Good way
location.
To put it.
Every community needs a detox center. Every community suffers from drug use. Family members looking, how can we help our loved one instead of throwing their hands up and just, you know, kicking them out into the streets. They can go to these detox centers and at least have hope that they can turn their life around. But when you take this away and you don't have, you know, any other options, what happens to the stress on the community? It gets exacerbated. Some of the resources we do have, like the police, you know, some of the ideas of safety.
Right. People are going to be desperate. People are sick. Addiction is a disease.
Right.
You know, not that long ago, the county executive marched his budget out there and did the dog and pony show and told us all about it.
He's
the county
for governor.
Board of supervisors, right, will need to approve the budget. Have any of them said anything about what's going to happen to First Step?
Well, they've been having meetings, and I think that the protests over the last couple of days, people have been organizing to let their voice be heard. There are some things coming up. I think they mentioned November 6th or so that there are hearings coming up with the county, and they just need to have their voices heard. And they're saying that the way that they did this, they just decided to say, you know what? We don't need the detox. We'll just cut that. It wasn't even a hearing to discuss with the community these type of ideas, especially something that is much needed, not only in the city of Milwaukee, but all across the country. People are suffering with addiction. They need to be deep. They need to have trained professionals working with them to walk them through these situations. But when you don't have that, crime goes up. Public safety becomes a question. Yeah. And mental health, people out here with addiction out here may be committing crimes.
Right. They're desperate. So 1,800 people were helped last year. 1,800 people. And also, 80 people work there.
Right.
So there are going to be 80 people that are also looking for work.
Right.
That's a big deal.
This is a need for great concern. And if anybody has any loved one that ever went through addiction that need to get the help that they need or a detox center, y'all need to let y'all voices be heard. Call the county and let y'all voices be heard right now.
Wow, important story. Tori Lowe, check him out 1 to 4 on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you, Tori.
Hey, thank y'all for having me.
It is 4:13 at WTMJ. Green and Gold Insiders. We talk Packers football up next.
From sidelines to the studios and everything in between, no one brings you closer to the action.
Micah Parsons is on the trajectory to a first ballot Hall of Fame. That's the trajectory he's on, just plain and simple what it is.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold with today's insider, ESPN's Alex Stroh, on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
What the hell's going on out here?
Alex, thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be with you. I know I'm a little bit different than your typical guest on Wednesday. I am not in the Packers Hall of Fame, despite popular beliefs, but good to be with you guys.
You are a Wisconsin's Afternoon News Hall of Famer.
You are.
Oh, wow. Thank you, guys.
First ballot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I the first member of that Hall
of
Fame?
You are, and I think it was unanimous, actually.
What about, like, yeah. Niz? I feel like Niz should be
in
there.
Well, you know, we gave it to Wildy, but we had to take it back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we did, actually. So now you're the only guy.
That's a story for another day.
We're still taking nominations, so your teammates will grow in there. Hey, let's talk about Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love outperforms Aaron Rodgers, had a great game. Here's my most basic question for you. Should he be in the conversation at this stage of the season for NFL MVP?
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of the season where you really start evaluating that, right? We're about halfway through, and his team is in first place of the NFC. He's been their best player, but really the MVP is a quarterback award these days, right? Wisconsin alum Jonathan Taylor, the running back of the Indianapolis Colts, should probably be more in that conversation than he is, but he's not a quarterback. Yep. So to answer your question, John, absolutely, I think he should be. Now, he's still got to play really well in other primetime games like he did on Sunday night. They've got Philadelphia coming to town in 2 weeks on a Monday night. They've got Detroit on Thanksgiving. Those are games where Love needs to shine, and he typically has in those national stage games, and he will really solidify his name at the top of the MVP race. But right now, I would say, yeah, he's one of several quarterbacks who are in that conversation, especially because his team's record is so good.
You know, I was thinking about that side-by-side when we were talking last week of Rodgers on the field and then immediately Love on the field. Oh, my gosh, Love did so good. I didn't even have to worry about, you know, any comparison. He's blooming. It was so good. That far throw that he did.
Oh, a couple of them. But yeah, I assume you're referring to the one to Watson where he extends the play, runs out and kind of sidearms. Amazing. He had the one to Kraft.
The
where he
sidearm.
Just floats it up. He is growing in tremendous fashion in terms of improvising. I think that's something I've been so impressed with him now in his third year as the starter. Something I've always been impressed with him about, and I think we've talked about this before, is just how cool, calm, collected he is. Yep. Because when you're in those moments, it's a Sunday night football game. You're playing in front of a national audience. I think the number came out, 26 million people viewed that game on Sunday. And Love just looks like he's in complete control of the show. So to your point on the side-by-side, you're talking about that graphic that popped up sometime in the second half. We were talking about that last week, Julia. Yeah. You know, what's that going to look like? Are their numbers going to be similar, or is one going to be blowing the other out? It was certainly the latter in favor of Jordan Love, which was really encouraging to see.
Can you talk about his leadership ability? I think sometimes we can confuse lack of leadership for a guy that's quiet, use the term calm, cool, under pressure. You don't have to be Brett Favre jumping into the arms of your teammates or Aaron Rodgers scolding your teammates to be a leader, do you?
No, I think there's lead by vocal or lead by example. And I would say he's certainly more the latter. Now, he does speak in the locker room and tries to get his guys revved up, but there are other vocal leaders on that offense, specifically a guy who had a great game on Sunday in Tucker Kraft. He's a vocal guy. He's a really good vocal leader in that locker room. And I know the Packers released a great clip of him talking after the game, after his 2-touchdown performance on Sunday. But Love has evolved as a leader, for sure. He's more vocal than he was, say, 2 years ago in his first season as a starter. But he's more of a lead-by-example guy. And again, it goes back to, I think, that cool, calm collectiveness that he has in those high-pressure situations. I think guys around him get calmer, and the pressure goes down a little bit.
Good
just
point.
Because they see the guy who's calling the plays in the huddle not phased by the moment, which should be an encouraging sign for Packers fans.
The floor stresses me out.
That makes sense.
Him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's the total opposite. So intense.
he's intense. He's yelling. He's animated.
Fiery, yeah.
I like it, but I mean, it's very different, right? It's yin and yang almost with those two.
Hey, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball.
Sure.
Micah Parsons. I think Packers fans want him to have 5 sacks every game, right?
Yeah.
That's just what they want.
I want that too, John.
Yes. I want to ask you about when they decided to line him up more consistently in the middle versus on one of the ends. Was that effective?
Oh, yeah, it was. And look, when you have a guy of that level, right, when he is one of the best defensive players on the planet, bar none, you're going to do different things to get him involved and throw the opposing offense off guard a little bit. Now, they've experimented with it here and there. I noticed it more on Sunday, though, as well, John, where he was lining up kind of as a defensive tackle rather than an end. And partially that's because they're dealing with some injuries on the interior, but secondarily – it's because he's that effective. He's that good. No matter where you put him on the field, he's going to make plays. So I imagine that's something they'll look to more throughout the regular season as they get Lucas Van Ness back in the fold, the former first-round pick who's been
been dealing with a, I believe it's an ankle injury for him. But Rashawn Gary, they want on the field, another depth defensive end. They like their depth there. So why not put Micah inside and just try to run, you know, four guys at him, their four best guys at him, depending on the play.
It seems like it rattled Rodgers, too. Like when he's on the far right or far left, it's easier for Rodgers to know where he is. Yeah. When he was in the middle, it seemed like Rodgers had happy feet.
Yeah, and he's not moving like he once did. Despite being 41 years old and still a good quarterback in the NFL, he doesn't have the mobility he once did, and that was evident. But there was one play, I believe it was in the fourth quarter on Sunday, where Rodgers is rolling out to his right, and he got rid of the ball, and he feels a slap on his hand after the ball. And he kind of looks behind him, and you could see in his face, oh, I know who that was. That was number one behind me.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh, it was so close. And then they had some fun about it. But he also talked about a few things. We found out what they were talking about. Was it on the field, John?
Yeah. It's being reported that Rodgers said to Parsons at one point, hey, why don't you buy my house? You're new in town and my house is still for sale. I love those little nuggets, that little back and forth.
I do too. And Rodgers has always been known as a guy who's more of a – he's not like a you suck type trash talker, right? He's going to say things that throw guys off guard, which I've always loved about Rodgers. That one's funny as heck. I enjoy that. Now, I believe Mike has already bought a house or a condo or something, but all things considered, he could probably afford another one given that massive contract he signed a few months ago. So, hey, Rodgers is pitching it to anybody that can afford it, and Micah Parsons certainly falls in that category.
Oh, I see it.
Interesting that 3 years later, it's still on the market.
It's a ranch house.
It's not cheap.
And it's a beautiful
house. John, it's not that bad.
And it's not that big.
No.
Does it have a price on there?
$424,000.
Oh, not that bad. I figured it'd be more.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's affordable.
Well, for those of you listening in the Green Bay area,
we should go in. It could be another Tundra Trio house, although it's not really close to Lambeau.
I know. Why would you? Oh, but he bought this. He's like on this big piece of farmland, Micah.
Yeah, that's right. Cool. That has been reported.
I think he was saying all that to butter him up so he wouldn't get like a horrible sack and get injured. You know, you got to butter those guys up.
Just had the one, but the Packers, only one of two teams in the NFL with two guys in the top 10 for sacks. Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, both in the top 10 for sacks now after Sunday night's win. Denver, the only other team who debatably has the best defense in the league. So good company for this Green Bay defense.
The host of Green Bay Game Day, Alex Strofe. Alex, it's always fun. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, yeah, tomorrow, 2 days in a row of Strofe. That'll be fun. We'll preview the Panthers game with Alex coming up tomorrow. Travel Wisconsin on Wisconsin's Afternoon News is brought to you by TravelWisconsin.com. All right, let's get to this. It's our weekly travel segment. We are joined by Aaron Might Thuring. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you here with us. Performing arts, this is a big deal in Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yeah, as the weather cools, we head indoors for unforgettable onstage action. Performing arts centers and venues throughout Wisconsin razzle and dazzle our visitors. So here's to raising a curtain on those shared moments of joy.
Yes, tell me about the Broadway performances and more in the Fox Cities.
Yeah, next, make your Fox Cities your next destination for a culture-filled getaway. Plan a trip around a show at the Fox Cities Performing Arts Center. This is a 2,000-seat venue in the heart of downtown Appleton, and it hosts over 300 events per year, including what you mentioned, Broadway performances of some of the hottest musicals, live comedy, music, and so much more.
It's really incredible stuff, especially when you talk about all the things you can eat, all the places you can hang out in the Fox Cities. It's a special part of our state.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. So you can also add a visit to the new location of the Trout Museum of Art to your itinerary. The museum dates back to 1960, but it just relocated into a modern, bright and airy space that displays some wonderful works of art that are curated exclusively for the museum. So you won't find these exhibitions anywhere else. For lunch, you can try Author's Kitchen and Bar. This is a weekday brunch and lunch spot, which featured simple yet surprising flavors. I was just there last month and had the meatloaf sandwich and some of the authentic Argentinian empanadas, and it did not disappoint. It was so, so good.
That sounds good. What if you want a nightcap?
Yeah, stop over to Vault 202. It's a former bank converted into a craft brewery where you can sip drinks right in the vault.
Then there's historic settings for a host of shows in Mineral Point, right?
Yeah, Mineral Point is one of my favorite small towns because of their art scene. The Mineral Point Opera House is the community's historic performing arts center, marking its 110th anniversary this year. And the theater fell into disrepair, but it went under a restoration process and kind of breathed new life into the building and returned it to its former grandeur. So today, visitors can enjoy a variety of entertainment at the Opera House. Upcoming reasons to visit are family-friendly movie nights, the Driftless Film Festival, which I highly recommend, the regional musical acts, including Celtic and big band holiday season shows are coming up, so check that out. While you're in Mineral Point, you can stay at the Mineral Point Hotel. It's a gorgeous property that dates back to the 19th century, which was an original flour mill. So nowadays, guests can relax in comfortable rooms with timeless finishes like clawfoot tubs and wrought iron bed frames.
All right, what about burgers? What about eats? We're going to work up an appetite.
Yes. Yeah, after your show, you can take in a burger at a small town pub, Cow Tippers Pub and Eatery, where the food is promised to be utterly delicious.
All right, what about Wausau? Wausau. I love Wausau, and I feel like it's just underrated. It's a great part of our state. What's going on in Wausau?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. The Grand Theater has been entertaining guests for over 125 years, which is a really long time. It's got roots dating back to 1899 and stands proud in the heart of Wausau's downtown. So browse the upcoming calendar. There's sure to be some events that'll please everybody. The upcoming show like Tina Turner Musical, comedy performances from names like Steve-O and national and regional musicians. And consider heading to Wausau next week on November 4th for a free show from Bizikee. This is a Native American band that combines traditional singing and drumming with contemporary sounds.
What about grabbing a meal?
Yeah, there's lots of places to check out before or after a show at many of the downtown restaurants in Wausau. Lemongrass is an Asian fusion restaurant featuring curries, noodle dishes, pho, and more. And another one to check out is Venato, which is an elegant and welcoming cafe with fine wines, spirits, and local craft beers.
I have one in Wausau.
What do you got?
Red Eye Brewing Company.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a great one.
Isaac?
Isaac, the producer's from Wausau, too. Have you been to that one, huh, Aaron?
I have not, but I'm going to put it on my bucket list.
Okay. It's fantastic.
Now.
They have really big pitchers.
Yeah.
And their wheat wine is...
Let's go together. I'm free the second weekend in December. Aaron, what about you?
Count me in.
Okay.
Individualized pizzas?
Isaac will drive.
Yeah, he needs to drive. Trust me, because after you have that picture, it's like, whoa, where am I?
Isaac will be the designated driver. Is that what you're saying?
And the owner, he also put in solar panels on the top and expanded it. I mean, my hottest place to go back in the day was Subway. So, I mean, that was big. Because I lived in Wausau for 2 years. I worked for Channel 7 up there.
TravelWisconsin.com. Check out the website. Aaron Mike Thurin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
It's 4:43 at WTMJ.
Presented by Horicon Bank. It's time for the Milwaukee Economy Briefing, where we dive into the latest trends and insights shaping our city's business landscape. Alongside MMAC President and CEO Dale Coinga, here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, Dale, thanks for joining us in the studio. We always appreciate that.
We missed you.
I'm glad to be back.
I missed him. I'm really glad you held on to the fort really well. I was depressed without him.
You killed it, I heard. I heard it was killer. You always do a great job. Hey, let's get into some of the news today, Dale. Fiserv, I don't know, you keep up on all this, but the numbers, the markets closed and it was bad. Their stock was off 45% today. Last year it was at 238. It closed today at 70. It's a big, proud Wisconsin company. I don't want to ask you so much about that, but about the importance of Fiserv in our community.
Well, we actually, people wouldn't necessarily right off the bat associate Milwaukee with being a fintech hub, but we are. We actually have the home of Fiserv. FIS has a large presence here. Both companies serve on the MMAC board. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's this song, Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This, and this is one of those days for Fiserv. I mean, they're still a multi-billion dollar company. If you actually look at their earnings today, their earnings were up 40% to $792 million. But Wall Street's concerned with the outlook, and just the revenue growth from expected, that was only 1%. So they've had double-digit growth in the past, and I think they'll get back on this. The CEO's new. He just got there 6 months ago because the previous CEO joined the Trump administration,
right.
Social Security administration. So they're a great company, great people, great brand. They own Clover. I know people realize that.
Yeah, we talked about
their brand.
Yeah.
And so small businesses should use Clover, support the whole town team here.
Yeah.
But they'll be fine. And this is business. You have good days, you have bad days. Today's a bad day for them, but they have the right team. They're the right product. They'll be right back at it.
Clover was the reason for their downfall, apparently, that not enough people were using.
Well, I would say
the
reason for the downfall. It's the Wall Street expected more growth from Clover. And there's some questions out there is how much of the growth was from Clover organically and how much was it from their organic system that was already there. And so that gets complicated and there's a lawsuit out there and everything like that. But Clover's a great brand. It's a little bit more expensive from my research than the previous ones, but probably because it's more robust in many different ways. I mean, it really gets rid of a lot of accounting that you have to do manually. It's very, very easy to use. I'm sure most users have used Clover with their phone or at the restaurant. So I think long term they're in a very strong position, and if the economy does well, then Fiserv will do well.
Yeah, I mean, and their name is on our building where the Bucks play.
They're actually in the building we're in right now.
They are. They're our neighbors. They're right next door here.
Oh, we got to talk to them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
They're going to be upset, aren't
they,
today? Dan?
They're important, and they will be important. And so, once again, bad day on Wall Street for them, but don't get confused. A bad straight day on Wall Street for a stock does not change the fundamentals and the operations of a company. Stocks go up and down, and they are a strong company with strong leadership, and you'll see a lot more good things from the future.
I agree with you, but this isn't just a bad day. I don't want to dwell on it, but this is a really, really almost historically bad day. I agree with you, though. They're a good company. They'll be all right.
Well, right? Yes, they are a good company. They'll be all right.
Hey, let's move on to something else. I know that this is important. You tax credits, school funding, MMAC, you personally are really invested in why this is important. And there's an initiative to gauge the potential impact. Can you tell us about this?
Yes. Yeah, so there was a federal tax credit that was passed this summer in Washington, D.C. It's a $1,700 tax credit that if John wants to donate to what they call a scholarship-granting organization, your tax bill goes down by $1,700. There's never been a tax credit like this. So I'm not even asking you for your money.
Wow.
I'm going to ask you, and it's like, okay, I pay $1,700 less in taxes. I get $1,700 for tax credits.
Yeah.
For scholarships. Like, that's great. And this is for all types of schools. It's for public schools. It's for private schools. It's for charter schools. But what does it look like for a public school where you don't have tuition? Well, this is money where I want to send that kid on a band trip. So the kid in Mequon that can't afford to be on the band trip, well, now he could go to Europe with a band trip, or he could be in a robotics club, or if you have reading proficiency issues, like, say, Milwaukee Public Schools, they have some students like that, you could actually do a scholarship for additional reading. So here's the kicker. It has to be approved by the governor. The governor has to opt the state in, and the governor has not definitively indicated yet if he will.
Because it includes charter schools?
And there's some concerns about, does it help private schools out? But the fact is it helps all schools out, and it helps all students out. And so this doesn't go live until 2027, but what we're doing is we're doing a pledge campaign. PayItForwardWisconsin.org. Or just Google Pay It Forward Wisconsin. It will pop up as your first one. And you could go on there. You can make your pledge. Once again, it costs you nothing out of pocket if you have a tax liability. And you could tell what school you want to donate to. You go there, tell what school you want to donate to. If you don't put the school in there, then what we do is we'll prioritize a school close to you for a kid in poverty and a school that actually is moving the needle on reading and math proficiency. So PayItForwardWisconsin.org. Please make your pledge. And then we want to show the governor how much money can be employed in our schools by opting in. Democrats for Education Reform estimate that on the low side, this could be $450 million more for Wisconsin schools.
And it's any K through 12 sort
any
of school?
Any K through 12 school in the state.
That's amazing.
And you have to go through what they call a scholarship granting organization. MMAC set one up. It's called Pay It For Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about this more on your show in the future.
I love it. One other thing we wanted to ask you about, Eli Lilly, NVIDIA, drug discovery, NVIDIA again. Now today, I think they became the first company valued over, was it $5 trillion I read today?
Well, we talked about this last week when you were gone, John, doing your vacation.
Excursion.
With my listener friends, yes.
Yeah, and supposedly this was work. I used to tell my wife sometimes. She's like, your job is so much fun. I was like, well, I have a great job. You know, it's
yeah, a, don't beat me up because I got a great job.
Because work is fun. But okay, we talked about this last week because when those fine tradesmen are building these data centers, these carpenters, the engineers, the earth movers, they are not building a building, they're not building a data center. They may be building the future cure to cancer. And what I mean by that, when you talk about personalized medicine, where there's no person like John, there's no person like myself, there's no person like you, your diet, your genetics, the other pharmaceuticals you're paying, you're taking, your age.
I mean,
you go down the list.
Yeah, certain types of cancers, it's not the same and doesn't metastasize the same as another person. My husband has Parkinson's. Oh, my goodness. It expresses in so many different ways.
And the computing power to take these different diseases with different pharmaceuticals with different criteria and then do computations and large-scale studies and simulations is the future of medicine. And Milwaukee is actually recognized as a biotech hub in this because we have great institutions like Milwaukee Medical College of Wisconsin and Frederick Theta Care and Aurora Healthcare. And this is where it's all coming together. Like Eli Lilly's here, the new deal with NVIDIA. This is very exciting for the future of healthcare.
Are you
in
kidding
America.
Me? This would be people are going to Dubai or different South America or Mexico. We could be the hub of a location. There's a place in Texas too that does that type of thing.
I mean, this marriage of AI and medicine. Very early in the
huge.
Process, but incredible. Incredible potential.
It is going to be the next frontier. We haven't seen a real increase in life expectancy in this country the last couple of decades. In fact, we actually saw it go down a little bit after COVID for drug use issues and other addiction issues, particularly among white males was the really driving that. It's a whole different conversation. But the point is that this may be the next revolution in healthcare that gives us another boost in our life expectancy. But more importantly, probably – is the quality of life that we have during that life.
Dale Coinga is the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Always good stuff. Thank
you
so much.
And welcome back. We missed you.
I'm glad to be back.
Here, here.
We'll talk to you next week, Dale. It's 4:57.